morning. My name is Morgan. I'll be doing the scripture reading this morning. The passage is Luke 1, 46 and 47. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." The scriptures are as relevant today as they were then. Amen.
Amen. Nice job. Morning, guys. It's a beautiful morning, isn't it? Incredible. Hey, let me get you caught up where we've been so far. I think we're in the, fourth week, thereabouts, of our Journey of a Disciple series. And to this point, everything has seemed a bit outward in nature. We've talked about awe of God. We've talked about belonging to God. We've talked about our purpose within the family of God. Now, as I told you last week, this week things get a little bit more disorienting. Maybe there's a state of confusion that all of us really get to in our discipleship journey. At some point, we have to actually contend with what we really believe about God. And sometimes that requires us going deep within us and that inward journey. And by the way, we don't really like that inward journey. I mean, tell me what you want me to do. That's great. You know, you need me to serve you? Fine. You want me to pray? Fine. But once God starts asking us to really evaluate what we actually believe, maybe some of our biggest fears, some of our biggest doubts, maybe our biggest sin habits, that's where we say, whoa, 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 time out, Jesus. I mean, I want to serve in kids ministry. You know, I want to serve as setup team. I'm ready. I'm willing. But don't ask me to give everything. Don't get to the deepest, darkest parts of my life. But today, we're going to do just that. Now, everything seems so certain in stage three. We had good purpose. But now, things seem very uncertain at times in stage four. Confusion. There were two big moments of tension when I was dating Morgan, for me at least. She probably had way more than that. But one was when we started talking about marriage. My eyes got really big in that moment. Whoa, 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 time out. Things are going great. Let's not, you know, go dive in together for the rest of our lives. I like the way things are right now. Or the next one was when there was something I found that I actually didn't like about Morgan. Now, I know some of you are going to be really mad at me for even saying that because, you know, Morgan is pretty close to perfect. However, she will never be totally perfect because she's always late. There's that old saying that you get 5 extra minutes per kid. Sometimes she acts like we have about 8 kids, but we don't. We have 3 kids. And there may be more moments of tension coming up after this, I think. But in those two moments, I had really 3 options. The first one was to say, you know what? This has been fun, you know, but I'm going to withdraw now because I don't really like conflict. I don't really like unfamiliar things. I'm just going to take a step back and maybe I'll find that contentment that I'm looking for in another relationship somewhere else. And this is what most people do in their journey with Jesus. When that conflict comes up, when there's something that's confusing, when there's something disorienting, when you realize Jesus is asking for everything, that's when, oftentimes, people will go to something else. Maybe it's a different religion or ideology or philosophy, or maybe they just want to give in to their own desires because that seems just a little bit less risky to them. So they withdraw completely. Now, the next option I had was to hopefully just keep doing the things we've been doing. You know, let's not talk about marriage. Let's not talk about the things that bother me. Let's just stay in this kind of shallow relationship because it's going pretty well here. So it's shallow and there's no real resilience or depth to the relationship, but it's comfortable. It's what I know. It's what's familiar. And this is also often what people will do with Jesus. You know, I don't really want to address those deep sin habits or that question about God that you know, I haven't really had answered, but I don't really want to go there because I'm afraid of that question. So let me just go back to stage 3 and just tell me what to do, Jesus. Just tell me what to do. Now, the third option that I had with Morgan was to lean in, to say, this is uncomfortable, this is unfamiliar, I don't really know about this, but yet I know Morgan, and I trust Morgan, and I want to dive into this relationship with her. Those are the three options. And I'll let you guys know when I made my decision on those options. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm so glad, ultimately, I decided to lean in. Because there's been so much joy and so much intimacy and depth in that relationship. Maybe you come in today and you have some serious questions in your relationship with Jesus. Perhaps you thought, since God loves everyone, it's disorienting to think that God would allow people to spend eternity in hell. I know that's one of the questions that I've dealt with. Or how could God allow suffering? I just don't get it. Or I'm living on mission and I'm pouring into my friend and they're not coming to know Jesus and I'm just so confused by that. Or maybe somebody in the church really harmed you at one point. And you thought, do I even know the character of God? Is God actually even good? Or maybe you've had questions about his sexual ethic or the definition of love or different theologies that come at play or philosophies or ideologies. All these things come at play and we just have a major tension in our relationship with him. Well, here's what we're going to want to do in those moments. Number one, express our confusion to God. Identify and express our confusion to God. Instead of withdrawing and refusing to address the conflict at all, let's expose and express that to him. Don't you think he wants to meet you in that space? So many times the enemy tempts us with, you know what, God's going to be mad at you for expressing that doubt, expressing that conflict, that question, that confusion. But in reality, he wants us to express those things. Number two, let it ultimately lead us into submission to God. As we ask those questions, we're leaning in all the while. And then three, experience the joy that is to come thereafter. Now, we'll give an example of what it looks like in a few minutes to do this. But first, let's look at what happens when we fail to do the first one, to express our confusion to God. Jesus tells Peter he's going to give up his life in John 13, and Peter says, no way, it can't be that way. It just can't be that. He just dismisses the idea altogether. And so eventually, when push comes to shove, he just withdraws completely. When there are tensions, when there are questions, like most people do with Jesus, when it's not all sunshine and rainbows anymore, oftentimes we'll withdraw. Mark 14:66 through 72 says, while Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. You also were with that Nazarene Jesus, she said. But he denied it. I don't know or understand what you're talking about, he said, and went out into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, this fellow is one of them. Again, he denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. He began to call down curses, and he swore to them, I don't know this man you're talking about. Immediately the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times. And he broke down and wept. So Peter, when this tension comes, he just withdraws. He's out and he's gone. And consequently, he never expressed confusion, which never led him into ultimate submission or the joy to be had that follows. Instead, he broke down and wept, because there's only weeping to be had when you abandon Jesus. It's just the way it is. You might have tiny, short-lived highs, but ultimately weeping because life is found in him. Contentment is found in him. If you withdraw from Jesus, you will break down. Now, the next example expressed confusion to God, but did not take the second step of submitting himself to God. And at the end of the day, he decided to keep living in stages 1, 2, and 3. We're talking about Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, an upright man. And he had this awe and reverence of God. And he belonged to the family of God. And he's fulfilling his purpose within the family of God. But then Jesus walks in. And it's like, whoa, something's different here. There's something about this man. I don't know about it. Things seem crazy. It's different than what I thought about God before. But let me just go explore it. But not like in public, like during the day. Let me go at night and explore this new thing that Jesus is talking about. And Jesus creates a very hard tension for him. He says, you must be born again. And of course, Nicodemus says, but I'm old. What do you mean? I can't go back into my mother's womb. And he says, how can this be? And ultimately, he decides, you know what, at least in this moment, he decides, I can't really dive in here. I can't really dive in. This point of tension is just too much. I've got too much at stake here. You know, I got a great reputation, and I'm teaching people, and people are following. Man, I got sermons, like, for months to come. I've got them already planned, and I just can't do it. I can't drop everything and identify myself with Jesus. Because it's unfamiliar, it's unknown, it's confusing. It can be very lonely to lean into stage three. And maybe you guys can relate to that. Maybe you personally or somebody you know says, you know what, I've had this question in the back of my mind for a long time. I haven't understood this thing about God, but I just don't want to go there. That was Nicodemus. Now, here's an example of expressing confusion, submitting to God, and experiencing the joy to come. It could be found in Luke chapter 1 with Mary. When the angel comes to her about giving birth to Jesus, she says, how will this be? And that is expressing confusion in the moment. But this is different than what Nicodemus said. Nicodemus said, how can this be? Mary said, how will this be? Two very, very different things. One is talking about possibility. The other one is talking about practicality. Huge difference. One is rooted in unbelief. The other is rooted in belief. She expresses that concern to God. And then God meets her in that space, in her confusion. And ultimately, she responds in submission. She says this in verse 38. She says, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. She says, let it be done. I submit to you, she says. Does she have all the details? Has she gotten everything just down pat? No way. In fact, this girl, she's probably 15 years old, and her whole world is rocked at this point. I mean, her parents are going to think she's had sex before marriage. They're not going to believe her. People around her. I mean, everything changes in this moment, and she doesn't have the answers, and yet she just says, may your word to me be fulfilled. She submits her heart to God. And then a few verses later, we see the joy of Mary as Mary sings her song, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. She expressed confusion, she submitted to him, and she experienced the joy that followed. And by the way, that's the same opportunity that we have here today. We don't have to be stuck in stage three. We can dive in and we'll have that depth of relationship, that perseverance, that endurance, that resilience, that relationship that grows just beyond three. We'll have that if we'll address those things, and joy will come. And by the way, have you ever noticed in the scriptures that Mary is just always close by to Jesus? Have you ever noticed that? She's just always there. She's there on that first glorious night when the angel comes. She's there when he's a kid. She's there at that first miracle. She's there at Jesus' death on the cross. And she's there after the resurrection. But don't you think, time and time again, she had big tensions at play? I mean, you got to think, from the beginning, a lot of people thought she should be stoned to death. I mean, a lot of people abandoned her. You got to think, she was asking God, why? Why is this going on? I've just been nothing but humble here. Why is this going on? And don't you think, for those first 30 years, before Jesus' public ministry, don't you think she had questions? Jesus is just living an unseen, quiet life those first 30 years. And you got to think, she's wanting vindication here. There have been friends and family that have left her behind. And she's just waiting for that moment where Jesus comes out, his public ministry, just to the world. But yet it doesn't happen for 30 years. At what point do you think maybe she thought God forgot about his promises to her over those 30 years? And then Jesus' ministry starts. She asks Jesus, hey, Jesus, can you keep the wine flowing at this wedding party? And he does. And for those 3 years, you can imagine, man, what wonderful joy she experienced. I bet there were so many more songs of Mary during that time. But then Jesus goes to the cross. Things become disorienting once again. And yet, Mary was still there, by his side, the whole time. I would imagine she experienced the most grief of any person on earth at that time. And yet, she was still there. And she probably knew from the beginning, you know, she takes Jesus as a toddler to the temple, and Simeon says a sword will pierce your own soul, and she probably knew, and yet at the same time of knowing, she still signed up, and she was still there. And then after the cross, dead silence, and yet she's still there. Jesus, right before he gives up his spirit, he says, go live with John, essentially. Your son, John. And she does. And she listens. And she's grieving and she's confused. She doesn't understand, what has this all been about? All this time, what's it been about, God? I mean, I've just experienced so much pain and I just don't understand. And yet, she still listens to Jesus. She stays. And because she stayed, she got to experience the greatest event in the history of the world. The event that sent shockwaves through the world. The event that changed the world for all time. She got to be a part of it. She got to see the resurrected Jesus because she stayed in her confusion. And by the way, that's the same opportunity that we have today. If we'll just stay. We begin to see the resurrected Jesus more clearly as we lean in when things just get real. See, Mary sees the resurrected Jesus and sees him ascended. And you imagine she had that same liberation when the baby is in her belly, when Jesus is in her belly, and it says that she just hurried off to go see Elizabeth because she had so much liberation. But you imagine this moment, it's even greater than that. You know, I mean, Jesus has now defeated death itself. There is victory as he's resurrected from the grave. Can you imagine this liberation that she felt, this joy that she felt because she just stayed? And by the way, imagine the moment where she sees the resurrected Jesus. I mean, the Bible doesn't even record it. And I got two theories. I got theories for everything, but there are probably some moments that you just can't even write down. You know, it's just so powerful that you can't even put words on a page to it. Or maybe Jesus didn't appear to her right away because he knew that all she would do is just kiss him for the remaining time before he ascended and he had things to do. So maybe he waited for a while to appear to her. But one thing we know for sure is that Mary stayed throughout. In Acts chapter 1, it says, Jesus ascended into heaven, and then it says this when the disciples were meeting. It says, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. She stayed. She didn't go anywhere. And I guarantee you she didn't regret it. See, there's going to be seasons of confusion and pain and struggle, and perhaps if we will just not withdraw but express the confusion, submit to him, then we will experience the joy we were intended to experience here on earth if we'll just stay close to him. I mean, it's one thing to be in awe of God and praise his name. It's one thing to belong to God and praise his name. It's one thing to have purpose and praise his name, but it's a whole other ball game when there's so much confusion, disorientation, questions, even about God's character, and yet still stay close to him in the process. But when stuff gets real, man, just let us stay. And if we do, we will see great victory and joy in the process. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you that you are always, always good and faithful. And help us in those moments of tensions to remember the experience of Mary who just stayed, man. I pray that you'll help us to see how good and right it is to express our confusion and yet remain and submit to you. Father, there are many questions, I'm sure, that people come in with today. I pray for the boldness and courage to express those to you and submit to you and lean in and watch what you do with that. We love you so very much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I'd like to, you guys stand with me if you don't mind. I'd like to conclude today in a different way. We did this a couple months ago. Just had you write some things on note cards. And what we're going to do is Tuesday in our staff meeting, we're going to pray over what's written on these note cards. So you don't need to put your name on it or anything like that. But if you have questions, maybe you're in that stage four, you're confused, you're disoriented, and you have questions, we're going to pray over those questions this week. But would you do one thing for me? As you write down those questions, would you also say, God, I submit to you. I'm leaning in. I'm not going anywhere. And watch as you experience joy in the process. Let's worship.